Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 16th of June, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. That's not the news.
And welcome back.
Thank you. And you guys were great. You guys were great yesterday. No, not yesterday. A week ago.
Yep. Last Saturday.
I only heard the last 20 minutes. I was at a funeral, and so, but I did hear the last 20 minutes. And, you know,
you needed a day off.
It wasn't horrible. I would rather, honestly, not have been there.
Yeah, I know.
But at any rate, you guys were great, and here we are back. Well, it's official. The Federal Communication Commission's repeal of net neutrality rules, which had required internet service providers to offer equal access to all web content, took effect Monday. The rules, enacted by the administration of President Barack Obama in 2015, prohibited internet providers from charging more for certain content or from giving preferential treatment to certain websites. After the commission voted to repeal the rules in December, it faced a public outcry. Legal challenges from state attorneys general and public interest groups, and a push by Democratic lawmakers to overturn the decision. The opponents argued that the repeal would open the door for service providers to censor content online or charge additional fees for better service, something that could hurt small companies, and several states have taken steps to impose the rules on a local level. The original rules laid out a regulatory plan that addressed the rapidly changing internet. Under those regulations, broadband service was considered a utility under Title II of the Communications Act, giving the FCC broad powers over internet providers. The rules, which have since, of course, been revoked, prohibited blocking. Internet providers could not discriminate against any lawful content by blocking websites or apps. Throttling. Service providers could not slow down the transmission of data because of the nature of the content as long as it was legal. Paid prioritization. Service providers could not create an internet fast lane for companies and consumers who paid premiums and a slow lane for those who didn't. Many consumers' advocates argued that once the rules were scrapped, broadband providers would begin selling the internet in bundles, not unlike cable television packages. Want access to Facebook and Twitter? Under a bundling system, getting on those sites would require paying a premium social media package. Another major concern is that consumers could suffer from pay-to-play deals. Without rules prohibiting paid prioritization, a fast lane could be occupied by big internet and media companies as well as affluent households, while everyone else would be left in the slow lane. Some small business owners are worried, too, that industry giants could pay to get an edge and leave them on an unfair playing field. Of course, nothing has actually happened quite yet, and that's because 21 states and the District of Columbia have all sued. Therefore, everything is still kind of in limbo.
Tying things up.
So nobody's done anything yet that they may have to just simply undo. But there is still a great deal of concern that with net neutrality dead, the way we experience the internet will be considerably different in the future. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is net neutrality is dead. And your choices are horrible. What can we do? Gee, that's too bad. And who cares? Charge me more. So far, we've had 27 votes. The vast majority of you say it's horrible. And actually, two people want to be charged more. I will be happy to take your money if no one else will. Of course, I know you'll have more to say on this subject. So if you scroll down on the right, under Fascinating Stuff, you will see that the very first link is the forums. And there are a bunch of forums there you can take a look at, but the second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the first item in the poll discussion is 16 June 18, net neutrality is dead. So far, three people have posted. You can certainly join them and leave your opinion there. And, of course, you can also give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
And that's, you know, this is so ridiculous because you can go to third world countries.
Yeah.
And they have far superior internet speed compared to us. And they, you know, they do quite well on what they're charging. And it's, you know, when you compare rates, if you convert the money and all that, they're still getting faster internet for cheaper.
For a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, as I've been saying, I'm with a bunch of people in a forum about 3D printers, and they're from all over the world. And we were talking about the net neutrality and blah, blah, blah. And they were all saying what they pay versus what they get. And by far, the slowest people are in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Even with the 100 megabit we just got jumped up to for Time Warner?
Yes. It's still slow. I'm one of the fastest because I'm on fiber and paying less than a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But many people overseas are paying, I mean, in the U.S., but compared to all these other people from the U.S. that are in this forum. But the overseas people are paying less for more.
Yeah.
You know, several of them have gigabit for what amounts to $50 or $70 a month in their currency.
Yeah, when you convert the money, they're getting three times or more the speed than us.
10 times.
Yeah, 10 times more the speed than we're getting and for far less.
Yeah, one guy was saying, oh, I only opted for the 500 megabit package. Okay.
For $10 a month.
For something ridiculously tiny.
Yeah.
For a few kroners or whatever they are. And it's depressing when you actually see what's going on in other places.
Now, speaking of which, did you hear any more on your printer?
Yes.
And?
That's all I'll say about it because I know things.
Oh, okay.
So you were going to say, Steve?
Yeah,
stay tuned, folks. There's more to come in the upcoming months.
A lot of the problems we have here in the U.S. with speeds is the legacy copper.
Right.
And 100-year-old phone lines. 150 years old now.
Right.
that just can't handle the higher speeds. And so companies that are putting in fiber are able to do the higher speeds. Companies that have put in new lines in the last decade can do the higher speeds. But there's very little incentive for them to raise speeds because there's no competition. So the companies just sit back and reap all the profits. There's no real reason to raise their speeds up. We're slowly starting to see some independent ISPs around the country that will offer ridiculous prices compared to what we get here. There's a company in San Francisco that offers fiber to the house. You get gigabit Ethernet, unlimited bandwidth. You get like 100 email addresses for $40 a month. Well, and so that is ridiculously cheaper than everywhere else in the country.
Right.
So in that area, Northern California area, there is competition. So the other companies have to
meet that competition.
Well, the only saving grace for us right now is with Galisano, you know, taking over and helping out Greenlight. That Greenlight will be able to go against Spectrum because the DSL. Let's face it, that is, you know, that's not even a thought.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even a blip on the map. Whereas Spectrum, you know, them, like you said, jumping up to 100 megabits, but to have Greenlight come into the playing field now, offering the same 100 megabits, but for less, and you don't have to bundle all this other stuff like you do with Spectrum, because Spectrum was it's only $29.99 a month. Yeah, when you bundle with all this other stuff.
Unbundle to $65.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Greenlight has to run new wire, fiber optic cable, and to get that faster speed. And so there's a huge cost involved in running that. Regulations, they have to ask every town board for permission, and then they have to get easements to put the wires on the poles.
And, of course, they have the right-of-way is all owned by Spectrum and Frontier.
Yeah. So, you know, if you owned a telephone pole, would you allow your competitor to put a wire on the pole?
Right.
Probably not.
Right. Now, you don't have to.
Yeah, but I think there's other laws that, you know, they've got to grant them, you know.
Well, there's a lot in the cellular phone industry that competitors cannot use the same tower.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the cell growth was hampered because AT&T puts up a tower, Verizon has to put up their own tower sort of right next to it.
Right.
They can't, you know, share a tower. And that just seemed like the stupidest rule I'd ever read.
Yeah.
And, well, except that there are people who love it because I know a guy who lives in the southern tier. He's got three different companies that have poles on his property, and they're all paying him.
Yeah.
He's happier than a pig in mud.
Heck yeah. Why not? You know, you got this revenue coming in now from three different carriers. Yeah.
Right. So it's not bad for him, but for everybody else, it's not so good.
But in the city and everything else with the pollution of, you know, towers here and there and every place else, you know, I mean, you look at most buildings now. If you take the time to look up, folks, because most folks are always looking down at their phones, and you look up at the side of buildings, all these microwaves and everything else that are attached to the side of buildings or on top of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're right. Seeing them pointing in every direction.
And that's sort of been one of the answers to we haven't put in new wires, is that wireless is going to be great. You know, 3G was great. Well, then 4G, well, that's going to be great. Well, 5G, that's really going to be great. Well, yeah, if you can get it, if there's not a building in the way of the antenna to you.
Right.
And it may be great for your cell phone, but now, because of the way the industries have worked, you're paying data rates on your cell phone, and we don't want to do that at home either. We don't want to have to pay per gig.
Yep.
And so it's frustrating.
Yep. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Bill from Brighton, New York. Hi, Bill. What's up?
I think I'm a victim of the Windows update.
Ah.
I had a Windows 7 that I upgraded to 10 way back when, and it's been doing the updates right along. It's got 8 gigabytes of RAM. It's got a terabyte hard drive. And, you know, one morning it says it doesn't work. So then I go through the processes and I says it's trying to repair and it doesn't repair. Then I try to do the restore to all the different dates and it does not work. None of them work. It says I can go to an image. I tried one day, tried another day, tried another day. Okay, this I figured. Okay, wait to talk to the sound bites guys. I power up my machine, and it looks like all of a sudden it's working. So maybe, perhaps you guys are magic.
Yeah, it's the guru proximity factor. Machines don't work until you call in somebody to fix them. It's the same thing with your car. You know,
oh gosh, yes. Check engine lights.
Yeah. It doesn't work until you pull into the garage, and then magically everything is fixed until you leave. But yes,
so what's been? You could say I'm another happy customer.
Yeah, exactly. It's our pleasure to have helped you as we did. The big thing.
Well, you guys
is,
are awesome. You know.
Yeah, it's the truth,
awesome.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
The way this works is that in often what happens with the Windows updates is there are issues that are fixed in the update. So many people have had a problem installing updates, and then Microsoft fixes the problem. So the next time they try to download the update, it actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how it could have done that because it never got past on any of those previous processes that I have taken have never even got to the point of having Windows up. It just was always in the process of repairing.
I don't know.
I had one of those the other day, and I just let it run, and it usually came back and said can't repair, but this last time it said
it's automatical.
You know what?
Yeah.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Make a backup right now.
The good news is I did not panic because I had a backup.
Yep. There you go.
There you go. Uh-huh. Gee, just remember us at membership time and become a member or support, renew your membership.
You don't have to wait. You can do it now. We're coming up on the end of our fiscal year, and we're a little short. So anybody.
I'm glad we don't have to wait. We can go right down there and do it.
Excellent.
So thank you.
Thank you. All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Gary from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Gary. What's up?
Hi. I'm calling with two questions about backups. I'm running Windows 10, and recently this week got a number of updates. And when I do my next backup, should I have the system image copied? Don't all the updates really change the OS? Or
well, yes. Here's the thing: anytime you do an update, it changes the system image.
Yeah.
So if you are going to back that up, then yes, you need to do it after every update. But the problem is, of course, you can't back up a running system.
Oh.
So you have to boot from another device in order to back up the system that's currently running.
Unless you have a special, like, enterprise-level backup program that can figure out how to do that.
Right. Most standard backup programs cannot back up open files. And, of course, most of your operating system files will be open because they're being used by the operating system that's running.
Right.
In addition, however, there's a long ongoing debate about whether or not you should back up the operating system. And I fall into the camp of not necessarily. And here's why. Generally speaking, when your system dies, it's because of something that's been building up over time.
Mm-hmm. Windows warning to redo.
Right. So if that's true, how far back do you have to go before you get a clean system image?
I see, yeah.
Whereas if you're backing up only your data, assuming you know your data are clean, you should be fine. Now, the problem with that, and the reason many people like to back up, is because they've already installed all their software and they can't find the install media, or they don't have install media, and they don't want to have to go find it again or re-steal it somewhere. And so they, by backing up the entire system, then they've backed up the, not just the operating system, but all the programs as well.
It does give you a little faster restore because you do a restore and everything is there.
Right.
But not quite as clean as a reinstall Windows, reinstall your apps, everything's fresh.
Right. One of the big issues, of course, is the registry. And if that becomes corrupted, it becomes corrupted over time. So if the reason your system has died is because of a bad registry, then how far back do you have to go before you get a good registry? It's not one backup, believe me.
And
one of the interesting things about doing a clean reinstall like that is you only install the apps you're using now.
Right.
And you don't get all that cruft that
you don't get all that other clutter.
Yeah. Oh, that was a neat app 6 years ago, and I don't use it anymore. But it's still in there. It's in the registry.
Also going to slow down your machine. The number of programs that you've put on and taken off, that all adds to the registry.
Right. The registry by itself never shrinks. It only grows, and it takes a long time to boot up.
And that's why we've always said the most important thing to do is always back up your data.
Right.
Data is usually irreplaceable. You know, those photos and everything else. Reinstalling an operating system or this program or that program, it's usually better to do it that way.
Good. That does help. The second question I had, it relates to a question I called 2 or 3 weeks ago and about a problem with backup on this Windows 10 machine. I got a screen that said, I have a VSS and SPP error, and Steve Ray posted a website. I got on it, and I can do part of that fix. The website that he sent me to said to open the control panel, go to administrative tools. Once that's open, click on service, and then I get a string of things that I could correct. And I found the VSS problem, the volume shadow copy, but the second part I just couldn't find, the SPP error. And I
Steve's looking that up right now. Hold on just a half a second.
It looks like those fixes should fix both of those errors.
Oh, the volume shadow copy would fix both?
Yeah, the fix for the VSS and SVP is one fix for both errors.
Okay. So just the clicking on the volume shadow copy and following those instructions should straighten it out.
Hopefully, yep.
Yeah, it does look like it's the same thing for both.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you fixed one, you already fixed the other.
Okay. Do you have time for one more question?
Very quick.
Nick has recommended in his column and on the show C-Cleaner. And a number of months ago, Dave Enright said that he encouraged clients to take it off their machines. And I just wonder what the problem with it is. I find it extremely helpful to get rid of what you call cruft or
There was a rogue version a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Bad guys infiltrated CCleaner servers and put a fake version on their server.
Oh, okay.
And the reason as far as CCleaner, this is my opinion, instead of using CCleaner, I would rather use Revo Uninstaller. Revo Uninstaller, CCleaner, will go into the registry and clean out stuff.
Right.
But what's still left behind is those folders and other stuff that's on your hard drive that is taking up stuff. Whereas if you use Revo Uninstaller, it gets rid of any remnants of the program in the file structure.
Okay.
And then it also goes into the registry and cleans that out. So it's doing double duty instead of just the one.
So you don't need CCleaner if you're already running
Revo and install.
Yes, I am. I do run it. And it's, as you've said many times on the show, it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, now one thing CCleaner does that Revo doesn't do is cookie management.
Yes.
Right. So... if you're also worried about cookie management, it isn't a bad idea. It also, Revo doesn't collect unused files.
Right.
It only really cleans up the registry.
No, it'll clean up, the first scan will go through and go through the I'm not sure which order, but one will do the registry.
Right.
And then the other goes through any remnants of the,
of that program, but not of unused files that are from other things.
It's just tied to that program.
Right, which CCleaner also does. It does do the optimization, but it also cleans up the unused files. It does cookie management and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But again, the unused files would be related to any program.
Sometimes, yes.
That you're installing.
So a program you uninstalled that got left behind would leave unused files that CCleaner would find. But if you use Revo to uninstall it, then it shouldn't leave anything behind.
Correct. Theoretically, right.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a very complete
answer. It doesn't hurt to run it, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. Again, it's just a matter of preferences. Right. You know, tomato, tomato.
And how much time you want to maintain your computer versus using it.
Right.
I spend a lot more time maintaining it than using it.
Yeah, well, you're running Windows, so congratulations.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Yep.
But thank you so much.
Sure, Gary, thank you.
Have a great Father's Day.
Thanks, you too. Yeah, but it is Father's Day, and one of the things you can give your parent is the gift of music by taking out a membership in their name to Jazz 90.1. We are coming up on the end of our fiscal year, and we are a little behind. So if you have forgotten to become a member, you still have the chance. You can go to jazz901.org and become a member. There's levels of membership.
Click the big Donate Now button.
Click the big Donate Now button, and you can also become a Jazzomatic member, which means that for $10 or more per month, we'll take that right out of your checking account, with your permission, of course. And you don't even have to think about it anymore.
Get the Magnificent Soundbites mouse pad.
You can get the Magnificent Soundbites mouse pad and a bunch of other cool stuff. And, of course, at the $90 and 10 cent level or above, you get it 90-10, get it 901. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get the membership card, which is amazing. If you use the membership card, you get money off on all kinds of things. You can also see a link on the website to that. And they're always adding new stuff all the time. And I'll tell you what, that membership card has more than paid for my membership. Way more than paid for it. So you should definitely check that out and think about becoming a member, because we'd like to stay on the air. And unlike other places, the only money we get is from folks like you, and we are short. So if you can help, that would be lovely. Thanks. And we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Roger from Greece, New York. Hi, Roger. What's up?
Hi. My computer has been acting wacky.
Uh-huh.
And this is what it is. I have a computer that is not connected to the internet. I have Excel and Word on there, but primarily I use it for Excel. I have all my financial data on a spreadsheet in Excel. Within the last week or two, it has started acting strange. I would, instead of the normal cross cursor, I would get a cursor that had a sort of a black square at a 45-degree angle with a white square in the center with a dot, and it would not accept input. And then after playing around, I could get it. But then when I would do an input, the screen would just take off and go horizontally and vertically out to, you know, hundreds of lines away. And eventually I could drag it back. The way I was able to drag it back was if on the vertical bar, if I clicked on that, I couldn't drag it, but if I clicked on it and brought up a screen, it said click on left arrow, nothing happened, click on left edge, and I did, and it came all the way back to column A, and then I was also able to bring it up. That, when I this morning I was working on the computer to get ready to talk to you, and everything was working fine.
Sure.
None of that funny stuff was going on.
However, as
the show came on, I kept on working, and now it has hung up in different ways. If I click on a cell, that cell does not outline, but several other cells do, different cells. I've also got, and I didn't try and do a split screen, but I've got sort of a goofy split screen, you know, at the top, and I can't, you know, I can't enter in.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
How old is this machine?
It's probably about 10 years old.
There you go.
I got one thought. You said it's a 10-year-old machine. It's a desktop?
Yes.
All right. A couple things that I'd want you to check is, one, if the graphics is going funny, and that is if you take the cover, you know, turn the machine off, and, mm-hmm. you know, flip it open, take the cover, side of the cover off.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you can do is, one, go to power it back up and see if there's a power supply, you know, a fan unit on the graphics card, whether mm-hmm. that's spinning or not, whether your CPU fan is spinning or not, or the power fan on the power supply is turning and spinning. Because
okay.
you could be getting a heat problem. And if it's, you know, still running, I tend to think if you've got a, you know, a decent graphics card in there, that it might be the fan on the graphics card that is getting overheated a little bit, and that's where your graphics starts going wacky.
The other, yes, and that certainly is a possibility. The other possibility, now, where is this machine?
I'm sorry?
Where is this machine? You said did you say it was in your basement?
No, it's in a bedroom.
Okay.
First floor bedroom.
Is the computer sitting on the floor or on the desk?
It's sitting on a shelf a foot above the desk.
Okay,
so it could be overheating because there's no air circulation around it. But if there is air circulation and it's in a window, then it could be overheating. particularly as on a day like today. But also, it just might simply be 10 years old.
Well,
and that stuff is starting to go.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was striking me is the mouse driver. Because the cursor changing. It's
again,
not
that could be your graphics card.
It's not clicking where it's supposed to be clicking.
Yep. Right. It also could
the
just be a bad
mouse. Yeah.
And so if you've got another mouse that you could try in its place.
That'd be the cheapest way.
Yeah.
First test.
I did switch mouses. I went over to Goodwill and looked for a fresh looking one. Put it on and same thing's happening.
Okay. Then it's either the driver or the motherboard itself.
Like I say,
you
check
do have
the
backups,
fans.
Right?
I'm sorry.
You do have backups, right?
Yeah.
You say that like you don't really.
I haven't in a while.
You better back up. That should be the very first thing you do after you hang up from us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that machine is 10 years old, and let's face it, it could be dying.
I see. Okay.
Back everything up. And then, he hasn't made any changes to the machine. It's not connected to the internet. So it's unlikely that, like, an update happened that caused the problem.
Right. And
so the problem is either mechanical, that is to say something is dying, or it's electrical, which means something is dying.
Especially,
and I'm also seeing some reports on the internet that, you know how you've got the little editing keys in the right side of your keyboard between the main keys and the numeric keypad? There's often a key in there called insert and another key called scroll lock. And those keys can do weird things and change the way your cursor looks if you accidentally get them turned on.
Right, make sure scroll lock is turned off.
And especially if it's a 10-year-old machine, that fan on the graphics card is small. And they were, for a while...
If it's got a fan on the graphics card.
Yeah, but they were notorious for burning out. And ATIs were unbelievably... I used to have a bunch of them. Because, we'd get them in and, the fan on the...
And they get full of dust, especially sitting on the floor. That's
and the other thing is, if it's a 10-year-old machine that's been sitting around for 10 years, how clean is the keyboard?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Okay.
It could be that there... I don't know if you eat around it, but it could be crumbs. It could just be dust. It could be anything has fallen into that keyboard and is causing an error.
Few things for you to check out.
But those things, see, the changing the mouse and cleaning out the keyboard, those things are fairly simple and cheap, so I would try those first. But it just might be that your machine is 10 years old and it's done.
Okay.
That's about 100
we gotta take,
in
I'm
years.
Sorry, we got to go. We got to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenik, Francesco, and you. It's 42 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 47 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
And for all you jazz listeners, that was old-time rock and roll.
That was old-time rock and roll.
I got to tell you this one.
Okay.
You'll be proud of me.
I am proud of you already.
I think it was just before my lunch break. I forget which day it was. My phone goes off. I'm looking at the number and I'm thinking, well, I was expecting a call, but I didn't know, where what area code it would come from. So I pick up the phone and it's this call and says, hello? Hello? Are you Mr. Dave Enright? Yes. Well, we've got to get in touch with you because your computer is infected. You need to go to it right now, and we can help you get out of it. I go, oh, really? Yes, sir. This is very serious. Why? What's going to happen? Well, you could lose all your data, and, all your photos, everything else would be gone. Really? Yes. You need to do it right now. We got to get into there and, let you in. Oh, okay. Well, I said, give me a minute here. Okay. So they go, I says, wait a minute. Let me turn it on. I says, okay, I'm here. All right, now, sir, you're going to have to open it up and let us in, get control of it. And I go, really? What type of machine you? You got a Windows machine? No. I've got a Chromebook. Click.
Click.
Yes!
You win.
keep them online as long as it can so it can't scam anybody else.
One thing, though, that you should be aware of, never say yes.
Yeah.
Because they record that.
Yep.
And then they go in and they say, well, he said we could do this because, look, here it is. He said yes. They splice that into, can we, you know, do you want to sign this contract? Yes. So when I get those calls and it says, is this Mr. Francisco usually, and I'll say, I am he.
Mm-hmm.
Do you own a computer? I do own a computer. Can you hear me all right? I can hear you fine.
Yep.
Never say yes.
I'm not sure if I did or not because I know that. But I was just so happy to be able to string him along because I'm sitting in my van getting ready to go to lunch and this call comes in and, you know, oh, really? You know, yes, and this could be very serious. You could lose all your data in that. You know, all those prize pictures and everything else. You know, your machine's just going to go south on you.
Yeah.
Really?
There's a video going around from a police station, and there's a police officer getting a fake IRS call. Right. And so they record it, and he's got it on speakerphone, and the IRS scammer is saying, you owe us, you know, $8,000. And if you don't pay in the next 45 minutes, you know, the police will come and arrest you. Oh, really? The police? and so the scammer wants him to rush to the nearest Apple store and get iTunes cards.
iTunes cards, because, you know, the government takes iTunes cards.
And the guy asked him that. He said, well, since when did the IRS, you know, start taking Apple cards? That's just a technical thing. You don't have to worry about that. Can I just mail you a check? Oh, no, because if we need this in 45 minutes or you're going to get arrested. And so if I give you iTunes cards, the police won't come and arrest me? Yes, sir. You need to do it right now.
Okay. We talked about this on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The Apple Cider meeting had a brilliant guest talking.
And then Nick was there, too.
Yeah, I was there, too. And we talked about internet scams and internet privacy and stuff. And one of the things we talked about is the tech support will never, ever, ever, ever give you a call ever.
Especially if you don't subscribe to remote tech support.
Right. Mainly because, and I hate to be brutal about it, but Microsoft doesn't care about you.
Nope.
They truly don't. They're never going to call you. They don't care. Apple's never going to call you. They don't care. Nobody's ever going to call you. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wait for you to call them.
Right.
And they don't know what version of Windows you are on. You could still be on 7.
Yeah. Right.
Or running XP, which a few folks I know still do.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. Yeah.
And those are the vulnerable ones. But the reality is that you can. I lie to them all the time. Well, I get the calls and I string them along as much as I can. You did well.
I had fun with that, and you I just think Nick's going to be proud of me.
I'm proud of you.
I like when you bring up his mother. Does your mother know what you do for a living?
I did ask that a couple of times. Does your mother know what you do for a living? She would be very. I'm going to give her a call right now. Yep. My mother?
Yeah.
You know my mother?
Yeah.
I know who this is. I recognize your voice.
Yep. Well, we got a text message in.
Uh-oh.
And it says, Windows 1803 got me again. An X-ray CD from the UR Medical no longer works. Now says to set registry key to .NET framework /install root ?
A bunch of stuff.
It worked fine before 1803 was forced on me. CD worked at library, but I think they're still on Windows 7.
So it's whatever image viewing program that X-ray disk needs to view the images apparently has a problem.
Yep.
We've got a lot of customers that get these disks, and why aren't they just ordinary JPEGs? Why do they have to be some weird format to read? Yeah. Okay. Sure. They're high resolution, but. You can do high resolution JPEG.
Yes.
Right.
Or even TIFF.
Yeah.
Look, we don't know what specific format those are in, but I might suggest a program called IrfanView, IRFAN View, VIEW, IrfanView, all one word, at irfanview.org. And that reads dang near every format on Earth. Download it and install it. It'll set itself to whatever it needs, and should be able to read it. Now, I don't know what program you have, what version, rather, of imaging software could be OSIRIS-X? Or-
yeah, OSIRIS is a specific medical imaging program that a lot of imaging devices use. And so there's a free OSIRIS viewer that you can view those images with.
Right, and Steve will put up a link to that. So I would, you know, try that first because it may be what you need for something from that. But if that doesn't work, then Irfan View is the thing I would suggest because it reads dang near every format on Earth and it will figure out what format it is and just read
great,
it.
Yeah.
But try the OSIRIS first. And,
oh, it looks like somebody bought them and it's no longer free.
Of course.
There's a free demo, which is probably enough to see your pictures.
I suppose, but
this time, but maybe not next time.
Right, right, right. But I don't know. Try Irfan View and see if it reads those files. I don't know, but that's a problem in general. But Microsoft, particularly programs that are older and don't update normally by themselves, you could check to see if the program you've been using has an available update, whatever that program is. But other than that, I don't really know what to tell you. But if it needs something specialized, then we can't help you.
It should be on the disk.
Well, you would certainly think so.
But it may be an old version.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And simply won't run under the new version.
So then you've got to figure out who made that program and go find an update.
Right. Or I suppose you could call whoever sent you that disk.
Yeah, ask your doctor
for
JPEGs.
Yeah. And talk to whoever gave you that disk and see what they have to say. But other than that, I would try something like Irfan View and see what it thinks. It might just work.
Mm-hmm. There's many workarounds.
Right. And that's one of the problems with Windows 10, particularly the 18.03 update. Lots and lots of people are having trouble with it. And it's generally not, for most people, it isn't that catastrophic failure Bill had originally, our first caller, had originally where just nothing happens. It won't reboot or any of that stuff. Mostly it's little things like our texter has where suddenly one thing doesn't work and there's no indication of why and there's no indication of how to fix it and you're just stuck in limbo without it.
You know, and that's why we keep saying have a backup because at some point you're only... solution might be erase the computer and install clean.
Hear me now, remember me later.
Yep.
What I'm getting at is you think people are ticked off now because they're getting these updates and they're ruining their machines. What's going to add to that fuel and fire is when you're also paying a yearly subscription fee, getting these updates... and it messes up your machine top of that.
If I'm paying for the update, it better work.
Yeah.
You know what? Microsoft won't care.
Yeah.
They still want their money to lease, because that's what you're going to do, is you're going to wind up leasing that software. And if, you know, their update messes up your machine, oh, well. Again, folks, key thing, have a backup.
Right.
You got to back it up, especially once you start paying for it. And that day's coming, and it's coming soon. I think probably before the year's out.
I finally took my last Windows machine. No, I still do have one virtual machine, one VM. But I took my last Windows machine and made it a Linux device. And now I never worry
about Windows again.
About anything. Linux automatically updates, and then it's great. And everything else they have is a Chromebook, and they automatically update, and it's great.
Yep.
And I'm happy, and that's all that matters. I'm happy. And my Chromebooks, the operating system doesn't cost money, and my Linux machines, the operating systems don't cost money, and I don't pay anybody for anything now.
Oh, speaking of not paying for anything, what was it? Maybe...
I still pay for the hardware, but...
Yeah. I think 3 or 4 months ago, I just did it recently. You know, I had a tablet through Verizon. Things paid off. And I got thinking, wait a minute. I've got wireless in the house. Yeah. That's the only place we use the tablet. Why am I still paying $10 a month to have it? So I got online and I canceled it.
Sure.
And you go, well, we can upgrade you. I go, yeah, no. So turned it off, you know, saved myself $10 plus tax. And the thing still works on my wireless network.
Exactly.
Great.
Right. Why you need it.
And if you really need it, you can use the hotspot on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we just use it. Sandy uses it for, you know, just around the house and that. When she wants to look something up quick, she's got the tablet. And it works great now. Yep. Otherwise, we can take the Chromebook wherever we want to go.
That's
and,
exactly
you know,
right.
If we're going somewhere, we might need a computer, but.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Back
my to, Chromebooks to, are finally coming up on 5 years old, and that means they won't update anymore.
Yeah, as we were ending the last segment, computers is about 10 human years per computer year. You know, like cats and dogs are
okay.
Five. And so that 10-year-old computer
all right,
is 100.
Okay, I'm sorry. We got to take, yeah. We got to take a slightly longer break. You've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but we're going to come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 59 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And stay tuned for an important announcement from Mr. David Enright.
Just a quick note. Bob from Rush said thank you. For he sent the message in before, said, thank you. I will follow through on your suggestions.
Excellent.
So very much. All right. As some of you might know, we've got throughout the summer a lawn concert going on. Well, since it's going to be a little warm and toasty on Monday, like 90 degrees, they're moving the concert inside. So due to the extreme humidity that is forecasted for Monday, we're moving the concert Jazz on the Lawn concert inside. The Jazz, the Grease Jazz Band indoors to the air-conditioned Olympia School Auditorium. Location 1139 Maiden Lane. The concert will take place at 6:30 p.m. and attendees should enter through the main auditorium door in the front of the school. There is plenty of free parking. Handicap parking also is available, and we will have signs pointing you to the entrance so you won't get confused or lost. So, again, Jazz 90.1, looking out for your well-being and enjoying some great music indoor under air-conditioned conditions.
Perfect. And it's going to be 90, so 90 yeah, plus, I think.
Sunday and Monday, it's going to be very toasty and...
I got
don't
in,
want to be out there.
I got in my car yesterday after an appointment, and the display in the console said 94. And, oh, my God, that's really hot. No, that's the range. Sorry. The temperature was just above that. It was 70-something. But
yeah, right. Yeah, I do like the fact that my car tells me how many more miles I've got left on my tank. It's not completely accurate, but it's pretty close. It's close enough, I guess.
Yeah.
So here we are, hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Just a reminder one more time that for those of you who've forgotten to become members of Jazz 90.1, we are coming to the end of our fiscal year, and heaven knows we're a little short. And so if you can find it in your hearts and, more importantly, in your wallets to become a member at any level, remember if you join at the $90.10 level, you get the membership card, which more than pays for itself. If you go out at all during the year to eat or shop. And you can also become a Jazz-O-Matic member, pledge $10 or more a month, and then it becomes automatic. You never even think about it. It's only 10 bucks. That's not even two trips to Starbucks. It's pretty good. And here's a little something for all of you people who are not yet on the latest version of Windows. On Saturday, a Microsoft contractor announced the end of Answers Forum support for Windows 7 and 8.1, Office 2010 and 2013, Surface Pro and Pro 2, which is only a few years old, i.e. 10 and earlier, and Security Essentials. But what about buggy patches? Microsoft's in-unit PR staff continues to show its moxie, this time burying news about the demise of free tech support for a wide variety of products, covering half of all Windows customers, for starters, in a series of blog posts unveiled on Saturday morning. Olga underscore GH, a highly respected if anonymous Microsoft agent, posted the following message in six different Microsoft Answer forums. Please be advised that effective July 2018, the forum topics for products that reached end-of-life support will no longer receive technical support from Microsoft agents. There will be no proactive reviews, monitoring, answering, or answer marking of questions. The forums will still have Microsoft moderation to ensure participants can engage in safe and positive environment. Microsoft community participants are welcome and encouraged to continue to use the forum to ask questions and pose answers with each other. Thank you for being part of Microsoft community. And basically, Microsoft is saying, do you still use Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows Office 2010 or 13 or a Surface or even a Surface Pro 2? Fly free. You're free.
Yeah, and that's another way Microsoft hoses you. And that's why when we had, what was it, a couple weeks ago, that one person saying, yeah, no, use Defender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft, that's also Microsoft speak for thanks for spending billions and billions of dollars with us for all of these products, but we won't be talking to you anymore unless you pay for it.
Yeah.
We just don't have the budget to pay contractors to handle free tech support, even if your product is still in support. Extended support.
And there are still so many machines out there that are still using Windows 7.
Well, Windows 7, Windows 8.1, 8.1 RT, Office 2010, Office 2013. Surface RT, Surface 2, Surface Pro, Surface Pro 2, Microsoft Security Essentials, there you go, no longer supported by Microsoft, every version of Internet Explorer except IE 11, and even then only if you post on the IE forum, Microsoft Lumia and Nokia Lumia, Asha and Nokia Series 30 and Series 40, Symbian, Nokia X, Mego, and phone accessories.
I got one word. Chromebook.
Yep. If you bought a new Surface Pro 2 from Microsoft 4 years ago...
Forget it, you're hosed.
Golly. Yeah. The lack of support on the Microsoft Answers Forum apparently extends to both the base product itself and any patches that have been released. This makes you wonder, will we see any official Answer Forum help with future bad patches? In the past, Microsoft agents have been involved in answering questions about bad patches and, in theory, relaying user screams to a higher authority. So are you still running one of these products? Don't bother to give us a call because we don't know either. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
And some of our listeners may wonder why we have no or very little faith in Microsoft in supporting stuff, especially when they blatantly come out and say, yep, you know, forget it. We're not helping you out anymore. Yeah. You bought our product. Yeah. You didn't.
Thanks for being a loyal customer. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. And like I say, Windows 7, though, that was the only operating system that I know of that came out and no major updates.
Worked every day.
Yeah. It came out. It was so rock solid you couldn't blast holes in.
There are like 200 updates to Windows. Windows 7. They never made a service pack. Two.
Right. They were always minor.
I wish they would, because when I need to reinstall Windows, it takes forever. Yeah. But according to some market share research, Windows 7 still has a 40% share of the Windows environment.
Yes.
Windows 10 is less than 50. And, you know, surprisingly, Windows 8.1 is about 10%. Windows XP is still in there at about 4%. Windows Vista is in there. Oh, maybe 1%. Windows Vista.
Yeah.
I had a machine this week with Windows Vista. Really?
Yeah.
You know, this computer's worth $10. Yeah.
Right. Well, and that just goes back to, I get that you don't want to change. Nobody likes change. And I get that you want to continue as if it was still 1984. I love your bell bottoms and I love your afro, but I'm sorry, it's time to move on.
But some folks, though, I've run into a couple customers that, you know, Windows 7, they have to stay with it because of the software was written for
Windows.
Well,
that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I get that. I get.
Yeah.
Absolutely get that. That's something that is what it is.
Yeah, that's the valid reason.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
You
and
have
I'm
no
sorry
other choice.
For you, and there is no recourse, and there is no upgrade, and et cetera, et cetera.
That's bites.
And I get that. But
bring back the 70s.
Porn stash?
I was going to say Magnum stash.
Okay, sure.
I was thinking porn
Let's
stash.
Go there. Let's go there.
There's a TV show called Timeless where they go back in time and fix problems, and they went back to the day Reagan was shot. And they're trying to track down the assassin because he got away in this alternate timeline. And so they go to the police station and with all the Secret Service and police guys. And because they knew John Hinckley, finally remembered his name. They knew who did it. You know, the heroes of the show knew who did it. So they're trying to find him. And so they're telling the other people with him, you know, what he looks like. Well, he's the guy with the wide lapels and the 70s mustache. And then they pan across the police room. Everybody.
Oops.
But and I get it. I get Windows is Windows 7 continues to work. Windows XP continues to work. I'm just I'm not. I can't. I'm afraid be very sympathetic anymore. Unless you're in that situation where some piece of software that you must run for your business. It still requires Windows 7. Mm-hmm. I get that. But beyond that,
but you might.
I can't be terribly...
And if you're in that position, especially if you're in the decision position for that, start looking at different software.
Yeah.
You're likely not supported. You're likely running into compatibility issues. You buy a new computer that's going to come with Windows 10. It may not work.
Well,
some businesses are just... Again, you know, times are tight.
Well, yes, but at that point, you if you have a Windows, if that machine's going to die, and then where are you? So you buy a Windows 10 machine or a Linux machine or a Mac, and you run some virtual system on it. Mm-hmm. Parallels on a Mac, VirtualBox, whatever it is. And then in that virtual machine, you run a Windows 7 instance. And then, oh, by the way, you can take a snapshot of it. Which means that it will always look exactly like that. You get it set up so your software runs, and then you take a snapshot. Boom. You can back up that snapshot. You can bring it back that snapshot. You can do whatever you need. And that gives you at least a little bit of safety and security. But you're right. It's a problem, and I understand when you are stuck with a piece of software that only runs on Windows 7, but Steve is also completely correct. Find a different piece of software.
Mm-hmm. We have a customer that's got a customer database written in an Access 2000. And we've been trying, since 2000, to get them to change to something newer. And it is every time they get a newer machine, we have trouble getting this software to work. We're running in an XP VM. It still has a little bit of trouble. And so it's very frustrating because we understand that, you know, the hesitance, there's the cost involved.
Yep. Training.
The training, and no one wants to do things differently.
Right.
But it's there's very little we can do anymore when you call with a problem on a machine like that. And it didn't say in that story about the contractor removing tech or stopping tech support, but they're probably going to delete all the old answers. All that is hard drive space. Leave all those old answers because someone may have a close enough question.
Yeah, but they're taking up that much space.
They start taking them away.
Yep.
And part of that is a legal thing. Well, you had the answer there. You have to support it now. And they may lose that case, but so they've got to try that case, and Microsoft loses money when they go to court. So, I get it. I get that Microsoft wants you to move into the 21st century, even if they have to drag you kicking and screaming to get there. But the reality is that you need to do your part, and you need to accept a certain amount of responsibility. It's okay to run XP, and it's okay to run Windows 7, as long as you understand you're responsible when it dies.
And you get infected every time you go on the internet or something like that. And then when you bring it into Dave or me and we fix it and you take it home and you get infected again.
Yeah.
It's not on these guys.
Right. Well, like I say, I had that happen a few times, you know, and the mother, you know, got ticked off because she had to bring it back in. I said, well, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm doing nothing, but, you know, my kids use it too. And I go, yeah, there is where your problem is. Well, what am I supposed to do? They need to use a computer too. Well, they're the ones that are infecting it, downloading stuff. Well, I can't stop that. Well, then, you know what?
Yeah, you can.
You're the parent. Hello. You're the one that's going to keep bringing it in here. Well, can't you do anything to stop it? I go, yeah, not let them use it. Get them their own computer.
Right.
She goes, oh, that's an idea. Duh.
Duh. Yeah. Buy a new computer. You take that one. Give the old one to the kids and tell them you screw it up. You get it fixed.
Yeah.
Better be saving your money.
Well, I told her. I says, well, if it comes back in here again and you're going to let them use it, I says, you should let them pay for it. She goes, I says, or get them their own computer. Yeah.
In the long run, it's cheaper to do that.
I think she took my advice because, you know, she was saying, well, this one is getting a little slower. I said, well, then there you go. You just solved your own problem.
Yep. Get a new one, give the old one to the kids, you're done. You're done.
Remember the kid, though, said, oh, we could get a new computer. She goes, no, I will.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we get this old one? Some of these kids, you know, it's like, so it's better than nothing. Hello? You don't like it? Then don't use a computer at all.
I was at a funeral last Saturday, and which is why I wasn't here. And one of the people was saying, I remember coming to your house, and you had two computers, one for your daughter. I said, no. I had an old keyboard. She was sitting in her high chair in front of Barney or somebody with this old keyboard, smashing away at it while Dad worked right next to her. We were working together, but it wasn't a full computer. Listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenik, Francesco, and you, 20 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And don't forget, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
I just want to remind folks, you know, we're telling folks to, you know, pledge because we're coming up on the end of our fiscal year.
And we're a little short.
We're a little short. But one other thing you can do and have some fun at it is this coming Friday is the official kickoff of the Jazz Festival.
That's right.
We will be down there on Gibbs Street. Jazz Street. Stop by the booth. We have a box there that you can do, as we've said constantly, year after year, swing by there and put in $1. If everybody out there at the Jazz Festival stopped and put $1 in, we wouldn't have any fun drive.
That's right.
So if you see folks in that, tell them, you know, encourage them. Go over by the Jazz tent, drop in $1, and...
Right. It's not just your dollar. It's everybody's dollar. So tell your friends. Shame them.
One lousy dollar for all the great music and entertainment that you're going to have. And right. I would recommend definitely, like I said, it starts this coming Friday. But the following Thursday night, I will definitely be down there because one group that's been coming here, I think, for over 12 years now, it's a free concert right there on Gibbs Street, and it's called Soul Stew. And they're a group from Toronto. They're an R&B group. So if you think, oh, I don't like jazz, well, come down and listen to these guys. They are fantastic. Like I said, they've been coming for 12 years. And while you're down there, again, take the time, swing by. Drop a dollar in the box.
Pretty much every genre of music.
The variety
is
out there, folks.
Represented.
Look at the lineup. If you can, take a look. We've got a link on our webpage, jazz901.org, and look at the variety of music that's coming out there. Free concerts on the weekends, a lot of great entertainment, and good food. They block part of Main Street off, and you can get some really good food, and like I say, a good time. And it's a family event, too. That's one thing I got to say for our Jazz Fest. You could take kids down there, and they'll enjoy the music just as much as you. And you can do it. And it's looking like this coming week, you know, and long-range forecast is looking good. So decent weather. So get a chance. Stop on down and say hello.
Absolutely. And here's some, and of course, give us a call, like I said, and here's some news. This past weekend saw coverage of a potential flaw in the design of the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. The issue is an audio one, starting with microphone issues that potentially result in the iPhone being stuck in a boot loop as the iPhone's hardware is checked, leading to the nickname of loop disease. Independent iPhone repairers discussed the problem that has been seen. Has seen the audio chip come away from the iPhone's logic board. They disagree about what causes the loop disease. Some blame small drops to cause the pad to become disconnected, while others suspect it's due to the phone getting repeatedly bent during use. Do we have to go away? No. But the fix, all agreed, is straightforward. Remove the audio chip and solder a small segment of wire underneath it to repair the connection. Most said they can complete the repair in just 15 minutes. They also said that a qualified shop should be able to carry out the repair for between $100 and $150. But that varies by what tech time costs and what other problems might arise. So don't quote me
and
on that.
If you're still under warranty, for heaven's sakes, go to a warranty provider and get it for free.
Well, exactly.
Because unauthorized modifications to your phone will void the warranty.
Exactly. If this all sounds just a little bit familiar, then cast your mind back to the similarly named touch disease issue that affected the iPhone 6 Plus. Here, the iPhone's display would stop registering touch events or show a gray bar across the top of the screen. According to Apple, the damage occurs following an impact and then repeated stress on the device. Third-party repair centers believe that there's a further step in the explanation. The susceptibility of the iPhone 6 to bending along a certain axis flexes the logic board. Over time, that would see that the touch control chips, which lack any rigid EMI shields, slowly lift up and away from the logic board. Loop disease appears to mimic touch disease in a similar way. The connection between the chips and the logic board are breaking over time, be it repeated and expected stress patterns or through the electrical connection between the parts atrophying away. Once more, Apple faces reports of an issue that is not affecting iPhones out of the box, but after 18 to 24 months of use in the real world. Apple has not yet replied to requests for details about the cause or extent of the faults, but in a statement, a spokesrobot said, "We are looking into a very small number of reports affecting the microphone on iPhone 7. If a customer has a question about their device, they can contact AppleCare or any qualified Apple dealer." AppleCare is certainly one approach to take to repairing a broken iPhone with this issue, but as with the saga of deterioration of the iPhone battery, would you really expect a smartphone that's not even 2 years old to be developing faults that are inherent in the design? If the issues with the iPhone 7 are down to design choices or material choices, then we all would hope that Apple would publicly confirm the issue and offer an extension to the warranty. Or is this going to drag on in the public domain as the battery issue did before Apple acknowledges the problem and offers a discounted repair in the face of increasing media pressure? Are you having problems with your iPhone? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
That's where they're really hosed. And what I mean by that is, you know, on the Android side of the world, you know, if you say... Like with me, I got burned on the, you know, my phone. Literally almost got
the Note 7.
Yeah. And, you know, I could switch to a different brand. The Mac people are hosed.
Well, all they can do is buy a newer, you know,
another one and see what,
whatever it is.
But they're not changing the designs where, right. You know, other carriers like Samsung and Google and all these others, they're different makes and models, right, that you could try a different one.
On also,
iPhone side, you've only got, iPhone.
Right. And also, again, if you paid $800, $900 for a phone, you really expect it to last a little more than 18 months.
I'd say a little bit, at least.
And so, and not everybody does. I realize there are people who have to buy the latest, newest, bestest phone every year, whether they can afford it or not or whatever. But that's I'm not talking about the edge cases. Talking about the average human being who keeps their phone for a couple of years. If 1 year or 18 months into it, into an $800 phone, you've suddenly got to replace it, it makes you unhappy.
Heck yeah.
And Apple has to do something about it.
And one of the problems is finding a design flaw that doesn't appear for 18 months.
That's exactly right.
So,
I'm not saying...
Yeah, how do you test for that?
Right. I'm not saying that Apple did anything wrong, but they have an issue that they have to fix,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
There are blogs reporting that internal Apple memos have been sent to technicians about this issue. I haven't gotten one yet, but I'm an external Apple technician.
Right.
So that could be. So it's And if they do find out it's a design flaw, they'll probably be, you know, what Apple calls a repair extension. So they repair it anyway, even if it's out of warranty. There are a couple of those already running for battery issues. In fact, they just announced one. Retina-based MacBook Pro, you know, which is almost all of them in the last few years, may have a battery issue. And you can bring it into the shop, and we can take a look at it and let you know if it's covered or not. So especially handy if it's out of warranty and still get covered.
Right. And to be clear, so far at least, for most of these repairs, Apple has done the right thing.
Yep.
We're not saying that they don't or that they won't. We're just saying it's time. It might be time for another one.
And it often can take time for issues like this to work its way through. You know, two or three people on the internet report it out of, you know, 100 million phones sold last quarter.
Right.
That's insignificant, and that's not a design issue. But when it starts getting noticeable and enough people start reporting it, then, yeah, maybe that's a problem. But it's always the vocal ones on the internet first.
Right.
And then every news blog picks up on it, and suddenly it's all over the internet. But it was just one person that posted it, you know, and got repeated.
Right. It's very much like what I tell my students. When I correct exams, if everybody got a question wrong, that's my fault. But if you got a question wrong, that's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, if 30 students all got a wrong answer, then probably I phrased the question wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's on me.
Right. I read a story about that where an open book exam, and the teacher said you can use any resource in the room to do your exam. And you know, half an hour later, a student stuck on a question. And you know, teacher, you said we can use any resource in the room, right? Yeah. You're in the room, aren't you? Oh, yeah. Okay, what's the answer to 27? And so in the next test, you can use any resource in the room except me.
Right, exactly. There you go.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Bodan from Rochester, New York. What's up, Bodan?
Greetings, gentlemen. Hey, I just want to get your opinion on internet-based phone lines. For example, dumping your traditional landline and replacing it with a product like Ring Central or Magic Jack or something like that. Are you familiar with internet-based phones?
Sure.
Call them VoIP or something to that effect.
VoIP, voice over internet protocol.
And you might be using a VoIP phone without realizing it.
Right.
So if you're using Time Warner telephone, that is already voice over IP.
Right. I am not. I'm still the old-fashioned Frontier, but I'm considering, because of the monthly fee associated with the landline, going to an internet-based service.
Well, right now, many of them are excellent. You have to understand that there are certain things you cannot do. For example, 911 calls don't work.
They don't work when the power is out.
They don't when the power is out. Right.
The plain old telephone system, is powered by the telephone system.
Correct.
Right. So if the power goes out, your phone goes out. In addition to that, it depends on the quality of your internet connection. Generally speaking, everybody's internet connection is fast enough for VoIP, but you also, you know, if you've got two kids each playing something and one of them's on Skype and you're trying to make a phone call, that could be a problem.
In my case, that's not an issue.
Right. But in general, VoIP is a good thing. We don't know what this end of net neutrality will mean for any of that. We don't know. It is certainly... within the realm of possibility, if not probability, within the realm of possibility that if your internet service provider also offers VoIP and you don't go with their VoIP but go with someone else's, they could in the future charge you an extra fee to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that net neutrality prevented, and now net neutrality is dead. So if, for example, your internet service provider also provided an entertainment medium, say cable, then they can now, if they want to, say, well, we're not going to provide Hulu.
And recently bought
or Netflix.
Or recently bought a movie house, movie
or
studio.
Or recently bought a movie studio.
Or is trying to buy a different movie studio.
Exactly. So they would be able to say, well, we will slow down or block Netflix and Hulu. Or, and if you want it, you'll have to pay extra.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have a, you know, cell phone, but I still, I don't know why. Maybe I'm a little bit older, and I just like that landline in the house,
sure.
but I don't want to pay the monthly fee to Frontier. So I'm thinking, hey, I could probably save 75% of my annual charge by going to over the Internet.
Since you're already using Internet, and you're already going to pay for it for other things.
Right.
It takes up very little of your bandwidth. It generally works pretty well. Most phone systems will connect to a VoIP connection.
Yep.
Many of them are pretty cheap,
and if and they're often broken down into two halves. You can get the VoIP service and use a handset, or sometimes you get the handset and the service from the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted a link from PC Magazine of their roundup of VoIP providers.
Yeah, in my case, I mean, I have a phone, then I guess you could call it a cordless one, and then I also have the extensions, which are also cordless, you know, with a radio frequency.
Yep.
Right.
So that will work with the VoIP. I'm just wanted to get your opinion. I mean,
They're not bad things at all, and I know several people who have them and use them and love them, and they sound pretty clear when I call them.
The one issue we have had at work is faxes don't particularly like VoIP very much.
I'm sorry, what is that again?
Faxes. We have like two of our vendors still send us faxed POs.
Oh, okay.
That's
faxes, right.
That's ridiculous.
Well, and there's also the fact that often nowadays you will have two-factor authentication. Some two-factor authentication doesn't work over VoIP.
Okay.
And that's an issue, then you would have to give them your cell number.
Sounds like you need to take a break right now with that music in the background.
We do that. Thanks, Bodan.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. It's the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Oh, in case you missed this, a federal judge on Tuesday approved the Blockbuster merger between AT&T and Time Warner, rebuffing the government's effort to stop the $85.4 billion with a B dollar deal in a decision that is expected to unleash a wave of corporate takeovers. The judge, Richard J. Leon of the United States District Court in Washington, said the Justice Department had not proved that the telecom company's acquisition of Time Warner would lead to fewer choices for consumers and higher prices for television and internet services. The merger would create a media and telecommunications powerhouse, reshaping the landscape of those industries. The combined company would have a library that includes HBO's hit Game of Thrones, channels like CNN, a vast distribution reach through the wireless and satellite television services across the country. Media executives increasingly say content creation and distribution must be married to survive against technology companies like Amazon and Netflix. Those companies started producing their own shows in just the last several years, but they now spend billions of dollars a year on original programming. It's a good time to be an actor. And users can stream the video on apps and homes and on mobile devices, putting pressure on traditional media businesses. Executives and investors of other companies have watched the six-week trial closely for signs of how it might affect their ambitions. Comcast, for example, would like to beat out the Walt Disney Company for some of 21st Century Fox's assets, but has held off from making a formal bid until the trial ended. If there ever were an antitrust case where the parties had a dramatically different assessment of the current state of the relevant market and fundamentally different vision of its future development, this is the one, Judge Leon wrote in his opinion. The ruling is a major setback for the Justice Department and its antitrust chief, Makan Del Rahim, whose decision to block the merger broke with convention. Deals such as this one, in which the two companies are in related industries but do not produce competing products, are usually approved by federal regulators. Mr. Del Rahim had insisted that the two companies sell some major parts before getting government approval, a demand that the executives rejected. That led to the Justice Department filing its lawsuit in November. Judge Leon's decision essentially confirmed the conventional thinking about antitrust law. So are you ready for the new entertainment landscape in America? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0400. 1.5.
That is one of the best things that I ever did, was cut the cable. Oh, it's been 2 years now. And, you know, when I hear some of these folks paying for cable, you know, I just get the internet and I do Sling. And, I mean, I get all the channels that I had.
You get all the channels you want. Yep. And that's all that really counts.
And I pay $29.99 a month. And that's with an extra $5 add-on package. That there's a group of channels that I wanted, and I put that on there. And now they've offered a DVD service, you know, DVR service. Again, only $5 a month if I really wanted it. But, I mean, just...
And that's not the bundled price that's going to go up later.
That's right. The price.
Yeah, that's the price. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I've paid for the past 2 years when I cut the cord, you know, and I... Here's the thing, folks. If you're thinking about doing the cable, you know, cutting the cord, do your homework, because there's a number of them out there right now. Amazon, Netflix, Sling is the one I happen to use.
DirecTV Now, yeah, and a couple of others.
You can go through, and what I did is I sat there and listed all the channels that I used to love to watch, you know, A&E, TNT, and all these. I made a whole complete list. And I took my list, and I wound up going to all these different providers and seeing what I could get and what I can't get. Because I've got an external antenna for getting my local channels, 8, 10, and 13. And that's just a small antenna that hangs up in the window and gets those all in along with Fox and XXI, you know, and all those others. So I got the best of both worlds, and it's only costing me for the... as far as the TV, the $29.99 a month versus right. The folks that are paying, you know, what? What is cable TV costing nowadays?
Well, they start you out at $29.99 a month when you bundle. When you don't bundle and you want, you know, a digital tier channel, you know, it's more than double that.
And you got to buy a box for each.
You rent a box for each television.
Right. Whereas, here's the thing. I got... When I first signed up for Sling, you know, I'd already bought a Roku box. So when I signed up for Sling, they had an offer going that they gave me a little Fire Stick with Sling on it, with the remote. So, and they gave me that for free. So I've got it downstairs and I've got it upstairs. You know, you're good both ends.
Right, right. Yep.
And not to be left out, Comcast and Disney are now in a bidding war to buy Fox. Disney offered... Disney offered $52 yes. billion dollars in stock. Comcast countered with $65 billion in cash to buy Fox assets. And so my question is, why aren't they using some of that $65 billion to lay down fiber?
You're right.
So they can give better service to the customers they already have.
Right.
So the whole thing is messed up because the NBC Universal merger got approved years ago. So a TV network owns a movie studio, and Comcast is part of that, I think. And don't they own NBC in there somewhere? So now we're seeing the internet services are owning TV networks and movie networks. And so AT&T is buying Time Warner. That's no big deal. You know, Comcast wants to buy Fox, and yeah, it's no big deal. Suddenly we're going to have everyone... being forced to watch only the shows on their own service. And initially, it was against the law for a movie theater company to own a movie studio company.
Well, it used to be against the law for radio stations to own TV stations or vice versa.
Yeah, because you didn't want that movie theater only showing movies that they own. You want them showing everybody's movies.
Right. And you know, you can figure out what it is. The way to do it, the way to cut the cord, is to figure out what you really watch.
Yeah, keep a notebook on your couch and watch what the shows
or
and
spreadsheet and the, or whatever yeah. works best for you.
And then you have to keep track of the networks you watch.
Right.
Not just
the shows, but what network they're on. And then you go through the it takes a lot of time and effort. But how much time do you spend watching television every day? You know, just go do it.
Think of yourself as a Nielsen family, where you write down every 15 minutes what show you watched.
Right. but, you know, like Dave did that, and he came up with Sling, which is about $20 a month. You can have 1 to 4 concurrent streams depending on what you're paying for. You get live TV. Sling has no original programming of its own yet, and it does have ads. If you want no ads, then it's Amazon Prime or whatever they're calling it, Amazon Video. Or maybe HBO Now. Netflix, of course, has no things, but those cost a little more. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you get some Amazon Video stuff for free. Mm-hmm. And
Sling has been in the media market for quite a while. They were really popular with their Sling Box that would hook up to your DVR and let you watch your DVR shows when you weren't home.
Right.
Which you still can't do with the cable company's DVR. Yeah, you know, say, you know, I'm on a trip, you know, I'm at a hotel, I've got great internet, I can't watch the shows on my DVR.
Right.
And there's no technical reason that can't be done. They can send you an on-demand show, so I have done that. I'll watch the show on demand and then remember and delete it from the DVR. But it's all digital. Why can't you just feed me that show?
Right. Right. And so, you know, the Sling, very inexpensive comparatively, depending on how many streams you're paying for. And like we said, you get live TV, but no original programming.
Right. They offer other sports packages that you can add on. And these packages, you know, are reasonably priced. And you can add them and drop them as you want.
Right.
So, you know, you've got a lot of freedom there.
But there are a bunch of them out there, and those aren't the only ones.
Like I say, Amazon
is what Dave did. You pay attention to what you watch, write it all down, figure out what you like, then figure out the package that gives you all of that for the least amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. even if you've got to go for 2 or 3 of them. Let's say you got to get Sling and Hulu. Well, that's $28 a month. Mm-hmm. For both of those services together, that's still a little cheaper than you're paying for cable right now.
Yeah, and, you know, like I say, because with the cable, you're bound to, rent that box. And you're paying a monthly fee for each TV that you want to watch it on.
And especially for, like, the spare bedroom, don't rent a box there. Or, you know, the TV in your own bedroom. Most people just want to watch the news when they get up in the morning. Get an antenna.
Right.
You know, $20 one-time fee for an antenna. Don't have to pay that $10 a month for a box, and you get your local news.
No, antennas work great.
Yep.
You just got to play around a little bit, finding the right spot in your house.
There's a website, Antenna Web. We've had it listed before that will show you the angle to point your antenna at to get the best reception for all your televisions. But basically, you got to point it to Pinnacle Hill in Brighton. So wherever you are in relation to Brighton, point your antenna that way.
I can basically spit and hit Pinnacle Hill. So I bought the $10 antenna. I get everything.
AntennaWeb.org. Okay. And you put in your address. Now, if you have an attic window that points in the right direction, that would be best because then you're above all the other houses.
But then you got to run a line down.
Well, no. You plug it into your existing cable TV wires that are already run to all your houses.
That's true.
All your houses, all your TVs
all
in your house.
TVs in your house. Oh, I believe that's music coming, and that tells me that we're done for another week. And I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. We will be back next week playing a lot more of this nonsense and taking your calls on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Please, please don't forget to join the station, become a member of the station and help us stay all on the air. And we will see you in just another week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. We are Soundbites. I'm the truly grateful and truly grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1. And we will see you in just 166 hours. Have fun.